Thank you, Dan and Mara. And if you would remain standing just for a moment for the reading of God's Word, John chapter 13, the Gospel of John chapter 13. We're going to be looking at verses 2 through 17, but I want to read as we begin verse 1 first. It says, "It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love." And this morning, we want to look at the full extent of the love of God as we look at our message this morning. Thank you. You may be seated. So in your bulletins that our Cub Scouts distributed to you on the way in are sermon notes. If you are a note taker, there will be some fill-ins on the screen, and you can fill some extra notes in on your own if you are a note taker. There also will be the scripture passage that we are looking at today, John chapter 13, verses 2 through 17. And so you can follow along if you have a Bible with you, or it will be on the screen as well. So today, we are honored to have some of Cub Scout Pack 625 with us today and their families. Could we just give a round of applause and welcome to Cub Scouts Pack 625? Thank you for being here. Thank you for all of the service that you gave to us this morning and opening the doors and greeting and passing out bulletins and passing out family Sunday packets and hanging up coats and helping with drinks, all those kinds of things. And there's going to be one more thing towards the end of the service that our Cub Scouts are going to do. But we are so grateful for your service here to our Dorseyville Alliance Church family, and so grateful that we have the privilege of being able to be the charter organization for PAC 625, and grateful that we have this opportunity to be together here on this Sunday morning. So I know that all the Cub Scouts, you've experienced some amazing programs that have been brought here, amazing programs that you have gone to, amazing activities. You've had wonderful PAC meetings and DEN meetings. But I would guess that the highlight of all of those is what happened on Friday night. Would I be maybe sort of the Pinewood Derby? For those of you who don't know, the Pinewood Derby was held here on Friday night, and those cars were flying down the track. Did you all guys have fun with the Pinewood Derby? I know I got to make a car when I was your age, and I had fun being able to see that thing be cut and to sand it down and to work on those wheels and the axles and put the graphite and try to get all of the weights right and make it aerodynamic and all those things. I had a lot of fun doing that. And I wish I still had my car, because I was watching your cars go down there. It's like, oh, that brings back great memories. I can say the best I ever did was second place. And the reason I did everything I could, I worked so hard year after year. But all of my friends, they had dads who were engineers, and they actually took them to the wind tunnel at their workplace to find it and make it as aerodynamic as possible. And those cars just flew down the track. And I felt like, oh man, all my best effort, I am in trouble here. There's no way I'm going to beat these fast cars. But it was so much fun. And so while all of those programs and all of those trips and Pinewood Derbies and all of those things make Scouts a great experience, the greatest reward, I think, and it may not even be known right now, the greatest reward is what is being shaped and built into your lives. So looking at the scouting.org website, I found this. Scouting America provides the nation's foremost youth program of character development and values-based leadership training, which helps prepare young people to be prepared for life. I love that. Character development and values-based leadership. We want to talk this morning about leadership and about being great leaders. I know one of the ways that you seek to accomplish that is both through the Scouting Oath and Scouting Law, correct? So, if the scouts who are here could help us, but I would love if all of us could try to say both the scouting oath and the scouting law together, okay? So here it is for us. So if we could say the Cub Scout motto to do your best, the oath, if we could say the oath together, ready? On my honor, I will do my best to do my duty to God and my country and to obey the scout law, to help other people at all times, to keep myself physically strong, mentally awake, and morally straight. And then the scout law together. A scout is trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent. So all of those together help in that character-based and leadership development. So this morning, I want to talk about leadership because all of us are leaders. Leadership can happen on your sports team. It can happen in your school. It can happen in your music group. It can happen on the playground. It can happen when you're hanging out with your friends. For adults, it can happen in the workplace, in the family, and in the church. We are all presented with opportunities to lead. And I believe that it would be our desire that we would learn and that we would lead well. So this morning, with that idea of looking to lead well, I want to look at who I believe is the greatest leader that has ever walked the face of this earth, Jesus, to see what we can learn about what it means to be a great leader. So three lessons to look at briefly this morning. The first lesson is this, that great leaders are servant leaders. Great leaders are servant leaders. You know, our culture tells us that to be a great leader, you have to do everything you can to get on top and to stay on top. That to be a leader is about being powerful. It's about having the right position to be able to use your power. That leadership is about telling other people what to do. It's kind of like that game, King of the Hill. How many ever played King of the Hill on the playground? Trying to get to the top and do whatever you can to get on top and stay on top. I want you to know it doesn't happen just on the playground. Puppies play it too. And I'm in the world of learning all about a puppy because we've never had a dog, but we just got a puppy in October, so we're learning what it means to have a puppy. And so because I think everybody loves puppies, I want to show you a short video of puppies, golden doodles, showing this King of the Hill and the fight that they have to get on top. And we had the winner dethroned. And that video goes on for 3.5 minutes of puppies just trying to get to the top of that laundry basket playing King of the Hill. And when it's puppies, it's cute. But in everyday life, when others are trying to do whatever they can to get on top, to use you to be able to get what they want and to be able to get where they want and to be able to stay where they want, King of the Hill isn't that much fun anymore. Because whenever we make leadership and getting what we want the priority, it becomes about me and about using others to get where I want and to do what I want and to get what I want accomplished done. But Jesus, instead of this whole idea of the leaders are the ones who are powerful and the leaders are the ones who are in the great right position and the leaders are the one who get to tell others what to do, we want to look this morning because Jesus shows us that being a great leader is about being a servant. It's not about being on top. It's not about ordering others around. It's about being a servant. So, second lesson is this. Great leaders are servant leaders, but great leaders, secondly, serve others like Jesus did. And this is where we want to look into the scriptures of verses 2 through 5 first, and then verses 12 through 17. So John chapter 13, verses 2 through 5 says this. If we can get to that next slide. So the evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. And Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. See, Jesus was gathering with his followers, his 12 disciples, for the most important celebration for his people, the Jewish people. And the celebration was called the Passover. Every year, they would gather together, and they would have this evening meal where they would remember what God had done for them generations before. Because God's people, the Jews, were enslaved by Egypt. They were enslaved by a powerful leader, Pharaoh, who wanted more built and was concerned that all of these people were becoming more and more numerous and more powerful. And so the way that he established to be able to keep them down and to keep him up was to enslave them, to make them work and to work harder and harder and harder. And God's people were under great, great suffering. And they began to call out to God, and they said, God, help us, deliver us. We need to be saved. And God raised up a man named Moses, just an everyday guy who had been born and had lived in Egypt in his early days, but had run off and was tending sheep when God said, Moses, I want you to deliver my people. I want to use you to bring my people out of slavery. And God did amazing things to show his power and his greatness to bring Pharaoh to a place where he would finally say yes, and he let God's people go out of Egypt towards the promised land that God had for them. But this night was a night of remembering how God had saved them, how God had delivered them. And it was this night as well that Jesus would be arrested. He would be arrested by the religious leaders of the day who were kind of afraid of Jesus because they were the ones in charge. They were the ones in power, and the people loved what Jesus was doing. And so they wanted to keep their position. They wanted to keep their power. They wanted to be able to do what they wanted to do. And so they decided that they would arrest Jesus and have him crucified. The next day, Jesus would die. It's a big night where Jesus is with his disciples for the last time before he is arrested and crucified, and on this night of celebrating the way God had set them free. But on this night as well, the greatest person ever known did the most humble job on the face of the earth. You see, in Jesus' day, there weren't really, really nice roads. There weren't cars. There were donkeys, maybe horses to be able to travel, but most people traveled on foot. And as they traveled on foot, most people were able to have a pair of sandals. Some people, the poorest of the poor, didn't have sandals. They would have just bare feet, and they would walk along these roads that would be very dusty, very dirty, where the animals would do their business right on the road there, and when it would rain, it would turn it all to mud, and it would just be hot, and it would be sweaty feet getting all of that dust and dirt and animal stuff all over their feet. You can imagine, not many people would want to welcome someone into their home. How many would want to say, sure, come on in with dusty, dirty, smelly feet into your home? And so the first thing they would do is as they would come in to a home, there would be a servant, usually a young boy or a young girl, who would come and they would get water in a basin and they would pour that water on those dirty, smelly, sweaty feet. And they would wash all of that yucky stuff off of those feet. And then they would dry them. It was the lowest and most disgusting job in Jesus' day to do. It wasn't the homeowner, it wasn't the powerful, it wasn't the important that did that job. It was the lowly. It was the people that were not having any kind of power or position. They were the ones who would do this job. And yet on this night, Jesus, the one who Christians believe is God, who came to this earth and became a man, fully God and fully man, it's a mystery, but fully God and fully man, the one who spoke all things into existence, the one who created all things, does the lowest job. He gets down on his knees and he begins to wash each of his disciples' feet. One by one, he goes around and he pours the water on their dirty, sweaty feet, and he gently washes it all off and with a towel dries them so that they can be prepared to eat this special meal. 12 times he does this, one by one, even the one who will betray him. See, it's not a servant, it's Jesus. And this is shocking to Jesus' disciples that he would be the one. It would be as if we went to the White House to meet the president and the lowliest job the president would do. This is what Jesus did. Even more than that, Jesus did the job that the lowliest person, even though he was the greatest, in verses 12 through 17, the passage goes on to be able to tell us this. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and he returned to his place. He said, "Do you understand what I've done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." Jesus tells his followers that just as he did this for them, that they should do it for other people. He set an example of what leadership looks like. Not you come wash my feet, but I come and wash yours. Not you come serve me, but I come and I serve you. And I believe that Jesus was not just saying this was just about foot washing. See, that was the lowest thing that you could do. I think Jesus went down and said, it's not just this one, but you do the lowest one and everything else. It wasn't just washing feet. It was in all of life, they were to serve each other, from the most important activities to the lowest activities. And this idea, this desire to serve others, should affect all of their lives. Jesus is saying, if I as your leader, if I as your teacher, if I as your Lord, your master, did this for you, you also should do it for others. And he says, when you do this, blessing will come. See, Jesus, hours later, made an even greater sacrifice. He made an even greater act of servanthood. I read at the beginning that Jesus came now to show them the full extent of his love. You see, the world is broken. I think we all know that. We see the news, we see the world around us, we know that things don't work right, that there's something wrong with this world. As Christians, we believe that what is wrong with this world is this idea of sin, that God is perfect, and God is good, and he is loving, but he is also holy, and there is nothing that is wrong with him. He is perfectly pure. All that he does is good and right. But we as human beings, we don't act that way. There are commands that God gives us, things that we are to do and things that we are not to do. There are things that we are to think and things that we are not to think. And we don't do what God tells us to do. I'm the first one. I'm the chief of all of those. There are many times when I know what I'm supposed to do and I just choose that I'm going to do what I want to do. Whether it's the words that I say to others or the actions, I'd rather think about doing what I want to do rather than what other people need at the time. So there are lots of ways that we sin and fall short of God's perfect standard. It's why the world is broken, because when I do it, it breaks things. When you do it, it breaks things, and more and more and more. But even more, it keeps us from God. But see, Jesus did something amazing. Not only did he come and he washed the feet of his disciples, but he went to a cross and died there. So that all that I've done and all that everyone has done could be forgiven. The only person who could do it was Jesus. And he paid the price so that our sin could be forgiven, so that the brokenness of this world would be repaired, and so that we could have a relationship with God. We sang that song, "I just want to be in your presence." God wants to have a friendship, a relationship with each of us. That's why Jesus came. And all of it is motivated by his love. But Jesus says to serve others just like he did, to the greatest extent of laying down our lives for others. Which brings us to the third lesson this morning, that great leaders are servant leaders. Great leaders serve others like Jesus did. He came to serve and to lay down his life. But great leaders also allow others to serve ourselves. In verses 6 through 11, the rest of that passage, it's all about Peter. And Peter was a great leader. He was a strong leader. He was a guy who could take charge and get things done. But here's what happens when Jesus comes to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" And Jesus replied, "You don't realize now what I'm doing, but later you'll understand." And Peter says, "No." Imagine, Jesus is coming to wash his feet, and Jesus says, "No, Jesus, you're not going to wash my feet. You'll never wash my feet." But Jesus says, "Unless I wash you, you have no part of me." See, Peter understood what Jesus was doing. He understood how crazy it was for Jesus to do it for him, so he resisted. It was scandalous to him that Jesus would wash his feet. He understood how great Jesus was, so it was hard for Peter, the strong leader that he was, to let Jesus do this for him. But when Jesus said, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me," Peter replies, "Then Lord, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." But Jesus says, "No, no, no, you've been with me. You've already been washed. Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet because your body's clean and you are clean. Though not every one of you," because he knew of the one Judas who was going to betray him. See, Peter understood that in order to be one of Jesus's, he had to allow himself to be washed. Part of being a leader is being willing to let others serve you. Sometimes we become so good at serving others that it's hard for us to allow others to serve us. Part of being a great leader is not just humbly serving others, but humbling ourselves to receive others serving us. Peter came to understand this, and he let Jesus wash his feet. So I ask you this morning, who are you serving, and who are you allowing to serve you? Great leaders are those who are servant leaders. Great leaders are those who serve others like Jesus did, the one who ultimately laid down his life for us. But as Dan prayed this morning, he's not in the grave anymore. He was resurrected, and he conquered sin and death so that we could be right with God. And great leaders allow others to serve them. When I was in college, I did an internship with one of the pastors of the church that I grew up with. He was the youth pastor, so his job was to work with all of the high schoolers. And I became really good friends with him. He was a really good mentor to me. And he was a really good leader. He had lots of responsibility. There were people who looked up to him. He had all kinds of influence in people's lives for good. But one day, as we were working, he left for a little while, and I was supposed to check in with him, and I couldn't find him, and I looked all over the place, and finally he showed up, and I said, "Oh, where were you? I needed to talk to you." And he said, "Oh, don't worry about it." Well, I was just a college student, and I was good at pestering, and I wanted to know. And I said, "Come on, you can tell me. Where were you? Where were you? No, no, no. Come on, you can tell me. Where were you? No, no, no." Finally, he broke down, and he said, "Okay, I was cleaning the toilets." I said, "You were cleaning the toilets? We have janitors that clean the toilets. Why were you cleaning the toilets?" And he said this, "I need to remind myself that there is no job that is too little for me, that there is nothing that is too small for me to do. And so I'll go find the thing that I don't want to do at all, and I'll do that." And I didn't want anybody to know it. He didn't want anybody to pat him on the back, but he wanted for himself to remember, leadership is not about how much I can do and how great I am and all the people I can tell what to do. It's about being a servant. Great leaders are servant leaders, like Jesus. They serve like Jesus did, and they allow others to serve them. So we want to practice this kind of servant leadership together. And so if we could have all of the Cub Scouts come down here to the back of the sanctuary here, they're going to help us with one more act of service this morning that then we are all going to engage in together. So in our world, we don't usually get to see one another's feet because we're wearing shoes, especially when it's this cold. Maybe in the summer you get to see feet and they get a little dirty, but in our culture, in our Western world, feet aren't the most dirty spot. I think hands are the dirtiest spot of our bodies. This morning, we're not going to worry about our feet so much. We're going to worry about our hands. And what I want to encourage all of us to do is the Cub Scouts are going to hand you two baby wipes. With those two baby wipes, I want you to find two different people. And I want you to go to them one by one and wash their hands. So with one wipe, you're going to wash one person's hands, and with another wipe, you're going to wash another person's hands. So this is going to allow us to practice this leadership, servant leadership, in two ways. One, you're going to have to humble yourself and go to somebody and wash their hands. You can ask them, "Can I wash your hands?" But then there are going to be times where you're going to be approached by somebody else, most likely, and somebody will probably come to you and ask you, "Can I wash your hands?" And so this morning, we want, like Jesus, to be servant leaders who humble ourselves and wash one another's hands, but also allow someone else to wash ours. Okay, so this will full permission in church. Sometimes we just sit. This is a move around. You can talk, you can be active, interact with one another. and take a few moments, or have some music just being played in the background, to be able to wash one another's hands in service, remembering Jesus, who humbled himself and came to give himself for us as a servant. So as you receive that, once everyone has been received those, we'll give you the go, and then we can move all around and wash one another's hands. All right, let's wait till everyone has received. We still got a few, got a lot of people. Yeah, and Jake is ready to go. He's pumped to serve. Yeah. So thanks to all the Cub Scouts for your service to us, all here, giving these out. We appreciate it very much. I think we have a couple more maybe needed up here towards the front. All right, if everyone can get those two. All right, can I have some? Thank you very much. Yep. You can give two to Mara. And then for the Cub Scouts, make sure everyone gets one yourselves as you're serving that way, okay? Is there anybody who still needs wipes here? They've done a great job getting those out. Thank you, everyone, for doing that. All right. Okay, looks like we are just about ready to go. So you can feel free to get up, move around, find somebody, wash their hands, and be willing to allow someone else to wash yours. So we'll give a minute or so, two more, just to finish it up. Thank you, everyone, for doing it. So thank you, everyone, for engaging in that practical way to be able to love and to serve one another. So leaders are not about doing just the things that only I want to do, the big stuff. Serving is about humbling ourselves. Being a leader is about humbling ourselves to serve others. And I hope that as you did that, that was a good experience for you. For some, it may have been a little bit harder to step out and a little uncomfortable to go to somebody and wash their hands. So thank you for taking that step out of your comfort zone and doing that. It might have been a little bit humbling to wash somebody else's hands. And some of you, it may be the easiest thing to do it for others, but it might have been a little harder to let somebody else wash yours. But one way or another, Jesus has shown us the way. He is the greatest leader that has ever walked the face of this earth. He shows us what true leadership is, not to be served, but to serve. And the scriptures tell us that the greatest way that he served is he gave his life so that we could be made right with God. By simple faith and turning from our way of doing things, but faith in Jesus, and to say, Jesus, from here on out, I want you to be the one who leads me. That's what it means to be a Christian, to come to Jesus and to say, Jesus, I receive what you did for me, and I want to follow your example and have a relationship with you now and forever. It's a simple prayer just to say, Jesus, do that for me. This morning, thank you. Thank you to all the Cub Scouts and their families. Thank you to everyone for being servants of one another and receiving that. We want to close by singing a song about Jesus and about magnifying and lifting up his name. So would you stand as we sing this closing song together?